Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Again, a lot to cover on today's show because, next week I'm heading out of the country and I'm going to do what I can to cover some diving options for you on the islands of Aruba, Bonaire, and Grand Turk. So that's next week. However, this week we got some reports, hopefully, on some of the diving in Curacao and God knows where else we'll go today. It's going to be a fun show, so stick around. Just getting started. And to help me do so is my good friend Richard from Matava in Fiji. But he's not in Fiji. He's in Colorado. What gives there, Richard? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks, Greg. It's a bit warmer in Fiji at the moment than it is in Colorado.
Yeah, I would guess. Yeah. What, are you just trying to make yourself feel better when you're in Fiji, visiting Colorado in the dead of winter? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I have an interest here that I spend quite a bit of time in Colorado these days.
Uh-huh, okay. It doesn't have anything to do with diving, or I don't know. But I don't think so. It's more of a personal relationship kind of thing that has drawn him to the States. Must be pretty impressive to bring you all the way from Fiji to Colorado in winter.
Just gone from 95 Fahrenheit to, we're sitting at 20 now.
Yeah, ouch. Well, glad I'm not you. And that's a rarity because usually I would like to be you, Richard. I mean, hanging out on the island of in Fiji there at Matava, the resort Matava. I mean, you're in an island paradise. No one in their right mind would leave this place by choice, but you have something drawing you to the area. Now, are you working on her to bring her to Fiji and to visit you at Matava?
Oh, she's been a number of times. She was just there in November, actually.
Yeah, okay.
And we had a great fun week after Thanksgiving. We had pretty much the whole resort full of friends and family.
Nice.
So we just played for 10 days, and we don't often get a chance to do that. Living there and diving as much as we can, but yeah, we just were in the water the whole time, so that was fun.
Good thing to do, if you can get away with it. Yeah. And Richard can, because him and his buddies run the place there at Matava, which, by the way, has gotten, like, Eco Awards and Fijian Resort Awards, just all kinds of crazy stuff, especially for the ecotourism that you offer there in Fiji. Right, Richard?
That's right. We've got a number of awards, local awards, and also a Virgin Holidays Global Award, which was very good. It sort of reinforces that we're doing the right things as far as the environment's concerned, the ocean. But also a lot of it's about keeping things local, employing local people, working with local communities. So there's an environmental and a social aspect to that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, very much part of what we do.
Truly is a unique experience when you go to Fiji. But when you go to Matava in particular, it's even deeper into the cultural exchange amongst the folks that work on the island, the local villagers and folks. I don't know, is Maggie still working at the resort? I mean, it's been a couple of years since we've been there. I don't know. Is she still there or he or what?
Maggie is very much still there in all his guises.
But all right.
Yes, he's there.
Excellent. Will you tell him I said hi? And I think she looks marvelous. But not just the folks that work at the resort, but when we actually went out to the village and spent some time. First of all, they loved our mermaids, just like everybody does when we bring them on the road. However, there was even we created like a snow day in Fiji when we visited Matava back in the day, because the local island kids just really dug the fact that we had mermaids with us. And I guess that was a rarity. Have you had any mermaids back there to Matava since we've been there for our visit, Richard, or what? what?
It's been their only experience of mermaids, and the kids loved it. I remember the school headmaster declared half day at school on Friday afternoon so that everybody could come down to the waterfall and to the pools there and swim with the mermaids. And I think a lot of the kids actually became mermaids that day, didn't they?
They did indeed. We gave the kids a snow day in Fiji, and now you actually have a taste of what that really is like in Colorado. So,
yes.
I bet you're wishing you were back in Fiji right now, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So is this a short visit to the States and then you're back on the island here soon, or what's your plan for the new year?
Well, no, I'm here now until February. So I'm here for a while. I'm going to take on a trip to the UK as well while I'm out here. So this is quite a big trip.
I got you. All right. You got a little family you got to visit, take care of some business stateside, that kind of thing. And then you're back on the island. And I don't know, is there a downtime or such a thing at Matava in Fiji? Like, for instance, in the Bahamas, September in the Caribbean in general is a really slow month. Does that happen in the Pacific where you're at in Fiji so much or not so much?
It can do. The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is always a bit slow because a lot of our visitors are from here in the US. So I guess a lot of people don't plan to travel during that time. And then it picks up again sort of mid-January, comes back up after people have finished with the holidays and then thinking, well, what am I going to do next?
So have you been stateside or traveling here for the holidays and just haven't been back and you'll go back, middle February or something like that? Is that kind of where you're at personally right now?
No, we just had a very fun Christmas and a very busy New Year, full resort. Down on the island, I was there for that. So a lot of diving, Christmas Day diving, New Year's Day diving, but a bit of partying too.
Yeah, well, I would imagine. How does New Year's Eve work in Fiji as opposed to the ball drop in Times Square? Do they have like a coconut drop or something? What do you guys do on New Year's Eve at Matava?
Well, we try and work out what the time is exactly. It's a bit easier these days with the internet. So we have a traditional drum in Fiji called a lali, which gets beaten. So we have relay teams beating that drum about 10 minutes before New Year. So we kind of beat in the New Year and then are ready with the champagne to pop the corks.
Very nice. All right, so it starts with island drums. Instead of a countdown, they do the island drum thing. And
that's what we do.
That's pretty sweet. Do the entire island do this as well, or is that just stay to the resort?
I think that's our thing. And it's pretty physical getting those drums. So they do it in tag teams of two at a time. It's really quite something.
Okay. Well, it sounds like something I have to add to the list. I mean, just like you got to spend New Year's Eve in Times Square in New York, maybe you have to spend New Year's Eve at Matava in Fiji. I'm sure you would agree with me on that one, at least, right?
I would. Absolutely.
What's been going on? Well, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you need to be prepared to get wet on New Year. The way that you greet someone in the New Year in Fiji for the first time when you see them in the New Year is basically to soak them with a bucket of water or whatever you can get over
them. Really? You just splash them or push them in the ocean or whatever you need to do.
Yeah. And this goes on through the whole of January. So you've got people hiding in bushes and sneaking up on people and doing all sorts.
Okay. So this is in Matava or in Fiji?
This is Fiji.
So basically on New Year's Day, all the Fijians get together and start punking everybody, hiding in bushes, getting ready to splash them with a bucket of water. That's how they bring in the new year.
Yep. And that will go on all through January.
Interesting. Okay. Well, does it count to dive? I mean, does that count as well? Or is this more of like, hey, we just do this because it amuses us, you know?
And it's a lot of amusement.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, there you go. There's another cultural exchange I think we would have to mark off. What's been going on at the resort as far as accommodations and things? You guys been doing some new stuff? I mean, I know when we were there, you guys were getting ready to put in a spa and yoga thing, and I think that's fully operational. You're way past that now, aren't you?
Oh, we have the spa is in. We just hired a full-time yoga instructor a few weeks back. His name's Chris. He's from the Philippines. He is a yoga instructor and a dive instructor.
Very nice.
Which is perfect. And along with that, we're doing morning yoga classes for everybody, but he's working with people individually as well. And when they come out, and if they want to have more of a fitness aspect to the holiday, he's working out nutritional programs and activity programs so people can sort of stay on track with their health while they're out, but not too extreme. You see people being very active in the day and with the diving as well, and then you catch them at cocktail hour too with a nice cocktail. So it's a good balance.
And then they pull out the buckets of water and pour it on each other.
Exactly.
Way to finish off the evening in Fiji. If you want more information on Matava and to hook up with Richard and the crew, the website is matava.com, I believe, isn't it?
That's correct.
So go there and go to Fiji. You'll thank me. Trust me. All right. Coming up, we have Captain Slate from Captain Slate Scuba Adventures down there in Isla Mirada checking in with us, as well as Pete from Scuba Board. They're going to join us. We're going to talk about the new location for the Creature Feature Dive down there, and then get into some dive industry news and instruction issues with our buddy Pete from Scuba Board. So that's all coming up right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere. Just getting started.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly poly fish, heads, fish, heads.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, on the line with me, one of my favorite folks in the dive industry is joining us, Captain Slate from Captain Slate Scuba Adventures in Isla Mirada, Tavernier area, is with us right now, as well as Pete from Scuba Board. We got two of my favorites, but I don't know. I put Slate on a slightly higher pedestal, Pete. No offense. You hear me?
I put him on a deeper pedestal.
Okay,
actually,
there you go. That would be more appropriate. But both, two great folks from the dive industry are with us right now. Slate, how are you, buddy?
All right. Now, you know what? I can't think about how many years ago. I'm going to say 13, 14, and we did your first two shows right here in the office.
That's right. We did. And it hasn't changed at all. There's papers everywhere, and only Slate knows where everything is, I'm guessing. But I just, you know, it just shows the character that you have. You hear what I'm saying, Captain Slate? That's a compliment.
At least I can find everything. No one else can. It's a big mystery.
Well, it's a code. That's exactly right. And that's just how he operates. But how are things down there in Key Largo today? How you doing?
Well, we're good. We're all happy. We had a great Christmas all through the Keys. I think every restaurant, hotel, and motel, and dive shop, and fishing boat was out fishing, diving, and sleeping and eating. It was great.
Yes. Well, that's always a good thing for business and just for sharing the love of diving, for sure. Now, Pete, I know you're down there in Key Largo, too.
No, actually, you're getting it all wrong, Greg.
Why? What did I mess up?
Captain
now?
Slate,
yeah,
and I live in Isla Mirada.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Okay, we're in Tavernier, and that's where you can find Captain Slate. Now, if you go looking for him in Key Largo, you ain't going to find the guy.
I got you, okay.
So if he owes you money, go look in Key Largo. If you want to dive with him, go down to Tavernier.
All right, fair enough. I got you. Yeah, no, is it there like a rivalry between Key Largo and Isla Mirada? Like I had Eric and Jerry the Diver Guy fighting because one was in Virginia and the other was in West Virginia. And I was like starting like an international incident or something between these two Hatfield and McCoy type families. But I don't know. It's not like that down there in the Keys, is it?
No, we still dive the Penny Camp Park area, the Spiegel Grove South, and we're just a little south. We're actually about 100 yards out of Key Largo across Tavernier Creek Bridge, so we just come out of the creek and go north instead of coming out of the creek and going south up in Key Largo.
Got it.
So it worked out. Got a lot of new sites down here that we really enjoy diving. It's a lot of fun. A lot of less crowded reef. We like that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do. And you know, you have your creature feature dive. You used to do it at the City of Washington. Now you're doing it where exactly, Captain Slate?
At Pleasure Reef, and we got a couple more sites. So we got that going, a first dive on the reef.
First dive, nice. Very nice. And I don't know, Pete, have you been out there with Captain Slate doing that yet? Since you guys are neighbors or what?
Every time I've gone to dive with him, either the boat's just left or it's too rough. He and I've got to make it out together because I want to see how his setup is. I hear he has a really fast boat that'll take him back up to the Spiegel and all that if people need to go.
Well, that's right. Didn't you got a new vessel, didn't you, Captain Slate?
We added an Island Hopper, 22-knot boat. She's 6-passenger right now, which is working out great for our short trips, but she's a cruiser. And we get up there really quick now. It takes half the time in our bigger boats. And, of course, that's all relative. If you got a big group, we take the big boats. We just tell jokes for another half an hour longer.
Well, there you go. And God knows Captain Slate has quite a few of them. Most of them we can't repeat on the air. Otherwise, we'd be kicked off. But that's part of the appeal of going to dive with Captain Slate. Well, what have you been seeing underwater lately, Slate? I mean, outside of your typical critters there with the moray eels and the nurse sharks and that kind of thing, anything pop up on your radar lately or what?
Well, we're trying to cultivate a friendly hammerhead that keeps showing up. He doesn't feed with us, but he's really kind of the reef dweller out on Davis Reef, really a friendly guy. Seen him about a half a dozen times, so they actually are kind of territorial. There was one years ago that hung around the statue area for a long time, then he disappeared. So that's, you know, we see a little bit more predator fish down here. It's not quite as dove as often as up in the Penny Camp Park, just a couple of miles up the road from us. So a lot of fish life. You got Snapper Ledge, which is just absolutely gorgeous.
My favorite.
Yeah,
I love that. And Pleasure Reef, I know it's called Davy Crocker. There's a couple of names for it because it's in between Davis and Crocker. That's really my favorite dive. It's so much life. We have a giant jewfish that lives under the ledge there.
Hold on. It's a Goliath grouper. Come on. Oh, wait.
It's a jewfish.
Goliath grouper. Yeah, a Goliath grouper.
Like, I'm expecting Captain Slate to be politically correct. Really?
Come on. That thing. Name it a Slate. It's a sleep fish. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, all right, so hammerhead, possibly, but are you finding that during these, you know, these winter months when it's cooler that the bigger predator fish have a tendency to swim through the area? I mean, we just had a report, I think last week, that someone saw some whale saw a whale shark off the Spiegel Grove.
Yeah, that's right. And in the past, we've had them on the Spiegel Grove and on the Duane years ago. In fact, my crew, unfortunately, I was on the other boat at the Elbow, got out and got to swim with the whale shark. And they do come in, but it's not often. And it's something I've always missed, dadgummit. So I hope I'll get to see one out here. We dove the Eagle on Saturday, and it was gorgeous. Beautiful day out there, overcast. But the big Goliath grouper was there also. And we had a good time with him. But, yeah, we haven't seen a whale shark here yet, but they do come in. And, of course, the group, the actual Nassau and the other couple of different brands of groupers do come in on the reef, the actual food-size groupers that the people like to fish for. They come in when it's colder, and I see them every feeding. They're everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, but do you think they like the cooler water, especially the sharks? I mean, you know, the hammerheads are cruising over in Bimini right now. They seem to like that area. I'm guessing that kind of maybe filters down through the Keys somewhat because the water temps are, what, upper 60s, 72-ish maybe thereabouts right now, right?
Hush your mouth, boy. 60s. We're not in the Galapagos.
Oh, that's
no,
true.
No, it's 75 right
75?
Now.
75? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I'm wearing a 3-mil, which, you know, that's sissy for me, and I'm wearing a vest. But we got Canadian divers today that are diving with us on a package, and these guys don't even wear a wetsuit.
Yeah. Do they wear anything at all? Probably not.
They do bathing suits.
Oh, okay. Well, just figured maybe you had some of those buff divers with you again.
You know, Greg, when you're built like a manatee, you can dive like one.
Oh, okay. That's a little too much information there, Pete, but I don't know what to think of that. But, you know, there's this image that just burned into my brain that I think I'm going to regret later on when I try to nod off. But, hey, you know, it sounds like a good time to be diving down there than Keys, and I guess you'd back me up on that, huh, Captain Slate?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We had, of course, great weather over the Christmas holiday break. Nobody got a day that missed a day trip, and got a little windy the last weekend, Sunday and Monday, and then now it's laid back down again. We got less than 5-knot winds today, probably flat calm out there. I'm getting ready to go out and find out at 1 o'clock.
All right. Well, I expect a full report once you get back there, Captain Slate. It's Captain Slate's Scuba Adventures. CaptainSlate.com. Go there and get more information on how you can dive with a man. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We sent Captain Slate on his way, but we still have Pete from Scuba Board on the line. And I don't know, Pete, you've been doing a lot of stuff down there in Isla Mirada lately, right?
I have been having fun.
Fun, huh?
I bought a big U-Haul van.
Right.
26-foot big truck, retired U-Haul truck, and I'm converting it into my mobile workshop, and it's I just had a blast with it. It's been fun.
Okay, mobile workshop. Basically, this is like a it's like a dive shop on wheels, right? You could do anything you need to remotely, as far as like what reg repair and you name it, you can do it.
Yes, I can do reg repair in there. I have all my reg repair tools in there. I have everything set up so I can do that. It's not the diving shop on wheels. That's my Sprinter van. I got all the stuff to go diving in. This is like to fix stuff and make stuff.
Okay, so you're a jack of all trades, evidently. So you're just
master of none.
Okay. Fair enough. And now I know you were doing something with Reef this week too, right?
Oh yeah.
What'd you do?
Yeah, that was fun.
What was that all about?
You know, Reef has a monthly meeting. If you're down here in the Keys, Key Largo, Isla Mirada area, you want to go to it. And this last week, we were Elena and I were the featured speakers talking about the social side of scuba.
The social side of scuba. In what sense? Like, you know, down there, like getting your freak on with your buddy diver? No, that's not the social type of stuff.
That's not the social type. I'm talking about me and 250,000 of my closest friends and I go diving.
Okay.
And we go diving all over the world together. We talk about, you know, the guys in California, talk about, you know, kelp diving, the guys in Australia, talk about weedy sea dragons, the guys up in the UK talk about how freakishly cold it is, and they wish they were in either the Keys or in, you know, Australia.
Oh, okay. So through, like, social media, like Facebook, scubaboard.com, that kind of thing.
You mean? Exactly. Ah. Scuba Board is the Facebook solution for scuba diving. We are the Facebook for scuba.
Okay. I like it. All right. Well, hold the line. We got a Dan tip and more with Pete from Scuba Board next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Socially, you know, on the air, you name it, we'll do it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 527. Popping a regulator in your mouth and pretending to be Darth Vader is so 80s.
Don't fail me again.
Next dive trip, strap a spear gun to your back and run around the dive deck like Katniss from The Hunger Games.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer of Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing great. What's that you're reading?
Just another story about a shark attack. As usual, it's more fiction than fact.
Yes, that usually equates to bad news for sharks.
You said it. I wish these folks would learn about marine critters before deciding to be afraid of them. I mean, I've been diving for years with just about every creature that's supposed to eat me. And in my experience, there is nothing to fear from them. As long as you respect them, they have no problem with you.
I think you got it there exactly right. Despite a lot of public perception, hazardous marine life injuries are really actually extremely rare. And most of the injuries that do occur are really accidental or avoidable.
How so?
Well, most marine life injuries are the result of defensive reactions by animals, and it's usually the result of something the diver did.
Such as?
One of the big things is poor buoyancy control. If you drop down or run into an animal, they have every right to try to protect themselves. Similarly, a lack of attention to your environment can really produce the same result.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not the lack of skill or awareness, but a diver's lacking respect for the marine life or acting aggressive toward them. I mean, I see divers messing with marine life way too often.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and you're absolutely right. And just like any other creature that feels threatened, marine life animals will defend themselves.
So what can we do to avoid the confrontation?
It's really not that complicated. I think it's important to just respect the environment into which you're entering and remember that you're a guest, not the critters that live there.
Good advice, but what about unavoidable accidents? It's hard to plan for that.
You know, I don't think it's quite as hard as you think. As with every other dive situation, I think it's a good idea to incorporate a consideration of the marine life that you might be diving with into your dive planning. Think about the potentially hazardous marine life that you might expect to encounter on any given dive. Make sure that you have a first aid kit on site and that none of the stuff that's in there has expired. In addition, the use of appropriate exposure protection, things like skins, hoods, and gloves, can really help to minimize our exposure to injury, even when those critters are microscopic.
Well, what about during the dive?
First and foremost, practice good buoyancy control. If you stay off the bottom and keep a safe distance from animals and other objects like reefs and wrecks, you'll go a long ways towards reducing accidental scratches and scrapes.
Streamlining your gear can also help avoid accidental brushes, can it?
Absolutely. It can also help reduce fatigue, which in turn helps keep you in control, which in turn
helps you avoid accidental brushes.
You got it. Be aware of your surroundings and know where you are in the water column at all times in relation to the reef, the bottom, or animals.
How about just leaving the marine life alone?
I think that's the best advice of all. Be passive in your interactions with animals. Don't chase them, corner them, catch them, touch them, or pet them. They are not there to entertain you. This is their home. You're a visitor.
Makes sense. I hate it when people hassle me for no good reason.
You get chased and poked often?
Stories for another day. But back to the subject at hand. What would you say about never touching anything without gloves on?
I'd say that's good advice.
Okay, let's just say divers do everything right to avoid a hazardous marine life injury, but they still have an encounter that leaves them injured. What then?
As with any first aid, follow basic life support protocols. These start with CAB, which is circulation, airway, and breathing. And if you have first aid training, proceed from there.
And if you don't?
Do your best to keep the diver stable and get them to medical attention. Of course, you can always call Dan for assistance, either to assist you with the first aid that you're providing or to interact with a physician who may not be familiar with the injuries you're treating.
You guys are always there for us.
That we are.
Despite stories, myths, and legends to the contrary, marine life is nothing to fear. They deserve our respect and consideration. But the truth is, the most hazardous creature you're likely to encounter underwater is another diver. A few simple steps can ensure that there's plenty of room in the water for both you and the creatures that live there. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
I have Pete from Scuba Board on the line with me right now. And Pete, I know you're doing a lot of stuff on scubaboard.com as far as chatting with your fellow divers, well, divers all around the world, about what's going on in the world of diving. And I figure, why not just delve into one now? I know you got a post ready there, or a question from a diver that is posted there on Scuba Board. What is it all about?
We are the best surface interval you can ever find because we talk about some serious stuff.
Sure.
Our username Screwball has come on to the forum with the question, skills to have polished before going to AOW, which stands for Advanced Open Water.
Uh-huh.
And he writes, so I recently completed my open water and have done a few dives. I'm really enjoying it and am keen on doing AOW sometime in the future. I know you can technically go straight from OW to AOW, but are there any particular skills / techniques I should have absolutely bomb-proof first to maximize how much I get from the AOW course?
Hmm, interesting. Now, I'm a PADI instructor. You're a PADI instructor, too, aren't you?
No, I'm a NASI instructor, N-A-S-C, and an S-D-I-T-D-I instructor.
Ah, okay. I didn't know if you had that cert as well. Okay, well, let's ask you from your perspective, because you're basically talking about a PADI Advanced Open Water Certification, I assume, right?
No, I think we're talking about all of them at this point.
They're all the same in that sense.
Well, they're close.
Yeah, close enough.
Like open water, it's close enough.
Okay. Well, what skills do you think they should have mastered before a diver progresses into advanced open water? What do you think?
The one that I see most people struggle with, and if they don't have it coming into my advanced open water class, they're going to have real problems, is trim and buoyancy.
Ah.
That's the biggest thing. If you can get that down early on, then the rest of it's cake.
That is true. I would agree. And, you know, is that something you can work on through your advanced open water? Well, possibly, but would it be better to get that kind of mastered and feel very comfortable before you, you know, go into your advanced open water class? I would say yes, absolutely. But
now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
you guys in the PADI program have to do a compass course in your advanced open water class, right?
Yeah, navigation. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you don't have trim and buoyancy down, you're going to be going up and down. You're going to be hitting the mud, bopping up to the surface. It's just stuff like that. If you have it down, you have it to where you can stay pretty neutral without using your hands, then it's going to be a much more fun time, much more out of the class.
I agree. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, he references the fact of going straight from open water into advanced. The advanced open water course, really is designed to just give you more experience as well. So you can go right into it, and there's nothing wrong with that. Will you get more out of it if you have more experience and have mastered your buoyancy much better or have more dives before you actually start that advanced open water course and might be able to enjoy those checkout dives like your deep dive, your navigation dive, your boat dive, or what other, or your night dive, for instance? Will you feel more comfortable and enjoy the process of that class better? I think absolutely. More experience, there's nothing better than getting more dives under your belt as far as making you a better diver, I think. What do you think?
I agree. I think that the number of dives you have, but the thing you're getting out of AOW, Advanced Open Water, is confidence. Because you've just got these few skills that you've gotten in open water, and here's a chance to get with your instructor again and amplify on those, add a couple more, but really build the confidence so you don't go into the water like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that first class, though, that open water class, is really where you should get your buoyancy and that kind of stuff in check anyway?
I do.
Right.
So,
So part of that is should be mastered in that class. And if you didn't master it, or the instructor just kind of passed you off and sent you through the process and didn't really do his job as far as making sure you really got it down packed, you have to kind of do a self-assessment, I guess, a little bit in that regard, how you feel about that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with going straight into open water or advanced open water if you have indeed done the initial class really well and felt good about your performance and that kind of thing, you think?
I either way, it's what are you comfortable with? Here it is. If you haven't gotten your buoyancy and trim mastered, you may never realize it till you get into a class with a different instructor, and they're going, "What the hell are you doing?"
Well, true. Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're going to look at you and go, where'd you learn how to dive, Chester? And it's a good eye-opening for you to see what's happening and maybe what's not happening with your own diving.
Yeah, well, what'd you do? Who was your instructor? Greg from Scuba Radio or something? What's going on with you? No. I teach good divers. I do. They'd be proud.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Whoa, hey, what's that noise?
I think I know what it is, Greg.
What is it? What could
I think it's shark court.
Shark court? What do you mean shark court? We got Pete from Scuba Board on the line with us here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And, of course, the Jaws theme is pumping. It's not even summertime. And evidently, sharks are in the news, or at least being chatted about online again. And why is this, Pete? What's going on?
Well, last year, Randy Jordan went out beyond the three-mile limit Florida sets for not feeding the sharkies, and he fed sharks.
Uh-huh.
And he was set up. It was a sting operation, and they think they got him. I don't think they did. And but he's going to court this week.
Yeah, now, Randy...
He started.
Wait, it's Jupiter Dive Center, right, that he runs out
That's
of?
That's right. Randy Jordan
Florida.
With... No, not Jupiter Dive Center, Emerald... Charters.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He runs
Emerald
a charter
Charters.
Operation. Yeah, we got to get that right. And what happened? I don't know. It's probably been at least 6 months, maybe even longer.
No, dude, it's like 8-9 months now.
Yeah, I was gonna say. And he was out there, and the FWC sent in a scuba spy.
Two of them.
And they went out diving with him, and they filmed him feeding sharks, they say, in state waters, where right now in Florida it is, quote-unquote, illegal to do so.
And what a stupid law.
It was. You know, I went through that whole process when we had old shark feeding friends, or, you know, Summer of the Shark, and the dive operators got blamed for feeding nurse sharks and causing bull sharks to eat people. It was crazy nonsense. And that whole law, when they passed that was just to appease the public outcry of, you know, saying like, hey, Florida Wildlife Commission, you got to do something. And so this was the result of this, to make it look like they were doing something. It was bogus nonsense. The law was you know, I'm not going to rehash all of it, but trust me when I tell you it was absolute BS that law ever got passed.
Greg, this is where we're going to have to agree to agree.
Okay, fair enough. Most divers who've followed that whole story know that it was absolute nonsense. And
people who didn't know were trying to pass laws to limit those of us who did know from doing what we love to do.
Exactly. And so Randy, you know, years later, no one's really gotten hammered for this at all. This law was a joke from day one. And matter of fact, I had heard from... You know, the wildlife or Florida Wildlife Commission
FWC.
Rangers. Yeah, the rangers, or I don't know what they call themselves, patrol or whatever. When they go back, they weren't even really policing that. They's like, we don't really care about that. But in this particular case, something stirred up their interest, or someone, I don't know, Randy might have upset somebody locally or whatever, and they turned him in. And when they get a complaint, that's when FWC has to come in and actually respond to it. And this was evidently the result of that.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
People don't like other people having fun.
Exactly.
I mean, it really boils down to that. Here's Randy out there having fun. His clients are having fun. No one's getting hurt. No one's being attacked by sharks.
Right.
But they can't deal with the fact that he's having fun and he's successful.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's making some money doing what he loves to do. We got to put a stop to this.
Yeah. So in state waters, supposedly you know, the law is you can't feed the sharks. And he thought, or I don't know, he says, I believe, that he was outside of that realm.
He's pretty sure.
Yeah, and they're claiming he was not, and they got video evidence, and now he is in court trying to defend himself against this ridiculous lawsuit, which was probably, like you said, some local person that was upset with him for whatever reason, and decided, well, I'll go get him this way, and you know, now he has this major headache on his hand, right? Is that kind of
exactly?
What it is?
You should have the approach dive and let dive, okay? You may not like spearfishing. You may not like shark feeding. Well, they may not like photography. They may not like snorkeling.
Yeah.
Give it a rest. Let everyone do what they want to do. It's a big ocean. There's room for everyone.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, I've said this so many times, is that these shark dives, whether you like seeing sharks being fed or not, the reality is, unless you feed them, they're usually not going to get in close enough for you to even get a picture of them. And that's really what this is all about. All we're doing is we're bringing the sharks in close enough so divers can get a picture of them and see them up close and personal and see that they're not going to come eat them. Because they don't. They come in, they take the food, and then they leave. All that stuff you see on the Discovery Channel for Shark Week is after these sharks have been baited in for hours, and then they get that crazy footage of the great whites jumping out of the water and all this kind of stuff. That just doesn't happen. Unfortunately, believe it or not, we say unfortunately as divers because it is so rare to see sharks just out in the wild, and this is really one of the only ways we can get up close and personal with them and see them in a light that is just like every other fish. It's not like watching these animals and seeing that that they're the man eaters that portrayed in Hollywood, because it's just not the case.
Sharks are smart. They know the most dangerous creature in the water is man, not them.
Yeah, they are so more afraid of us, and that's why we have to bait them in to get them close enough for a picture. I mean, that is It's a strange reality that divers don't, or that non-divers don't really understand. You think, Pete?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I wish Randy the best of luck. I know he's got
big fight on his hand right now.
He's got a big fight in his hand. He also needs money to help. So he's got a couple things going out there to raise money for his defense from these idiot people who just won't let him have fun.
Yes. Well, when you say him have fun, it's everybody else, too, that wants to go out and see these
Precisely.
Sharks.
Precisely.
And the divers that want to, book these dives. So we'll follow his progress. Hopefully it'll turn out okay. But, of course, we'll follow it accordingly right here on The Big Show. Pete, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Later.
And of course, you can catch up with Pete at scubaboard.com. All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here. Down in the mud here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.